Okay.
Welcome to episode 218 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes the paranormal. But tonight, Wild Wednesday, it's going to be different because I got one of my homeboys coming in tonight, and you've heard him before, and I think you're going to dig what he's got to get into. We'll get to that in a minute. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Also, Peaceful Valley, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Everybody asks where we get all of our seeds that we put in the food forest and the orchards. Well, when we start them off, we use the good bug blend, the low growing or the high growing good bug blend from Peaceful Valley. It takes a little while for it to get there, so it better be in your plans, but hey, use them until I come out with a pimp mix that's going to be coming out hopefully within months. We got to see, man. We're fine-tuning this stuff to get it down right. Anyway, if you want to tip a pimp, do it over there on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on us, you can drop a SAT on a PIMP. You know where to do it on the Fountain app. Redemption Shield. Look, y'all, every time I'm in this studio, I know I'm getting Kentucky fried from all the way up if my feet are not constantly grounded. My bare feet right now, as always, every time I'm broadcasting, and in fact, as many times as I can manage throughout the day, are on a grounding mat for Redemption Shield. Remember, they didn't hit me up about an advertisership. I hit them up. I hit all the other companies out there and said, hey, Billy, I'm a 20 at the time. I think I was a 25, 26 year journeyman electrician, IBEW trained. Nobody ever responded when I told them, hey, I wanted to test your stuff and do a review on it. The only ones that got back to me were Redemption Shield. So I tested their stuff and Gina, who owns the company, said, yeah, knock yourself out. Tested everything and it came back with flying colors. And I'm talking everything grounding, y'all. That's what I use. So if you want to get 10% off there, sometimes they run specials. Put promo code PERMA, as always. PERMA for all of our discount codes, y'all. All right. Last, but I'm handling that housekeeping all up front because I don't want to interrupt our guest because he has got a bomb. I'm telling y'all what. I mean, when I heard him talk about this before, at first, I was like, I don't know, man. Let's hear it. And I heard him on another podcast, and I've been trying to touch bases with him for a while to do it over here because I think you're really going to dig it, especially for these times, y'all. I can't think of anything more prescient than the information he's about to drop. Finally, EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, if things jump off, if the worst should possibly happen, you're not going to the club, you're going home. You're going to your bug out place. That's why I got EMP Shield on all the vehicles around here. No, they're not cheap, but I'll tell you what, it's better than the alternative. Having to use, instead of driving around that Toyota Tundra, I'll be driving around my BMWs, and that means boots made for walking. And I'm not trying to do that if things jump off. Plus, if anything, if you put the house system on there and anything downstream gets Kentucky fried, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. That's what I'm talking about. EMP Shield promo code PERMA will get you $50 off. All right, y'all, all the housekeeping's out of the way. And like I said, please go out there, support our sponsors. That's how we're able to keep this show free. And look, y'all, I want to thank everybody for all your support out there. I can't thank you enough for your purchases. I only bring on the best in terms of products, and I bring on only the best when it comes to guests. And with that said, I want to talk to my man, Alex Pauls from the Firmamental Podcast. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again, Billy. It's always a pleasure. And man, you are just my favorite radio guy. So I can't wait to try out some EMP Shield because I'm an electrician too, and I love that kind of stuff.
Well, bro, up there in Canada, I mean, you guys are in for, well, I don't know how much you're in, but you probably spend a fair amount of time indoors because I know it gets cold as all get out up there. But hey, here I am, man. It's a great time. Always, every time I'm on with Alex, it's always a wonderful time. I call him the Canadian Casanova, y'all, because he's yeah, he's going to blush a little bit. But yeah, the ladies dig him. Too bad you can't see him right now, because with what we talk about in this podcast, we have to, by and large, keep it well within the audio range, you know, outside of Google's tentacles, so they can't, you know, torpedo this thing. But Alex, for the new people out there, because we're getting them all the time, why don't you give them a little bit of background on yourself, and then also go as deep as you'd like into what you do with the Firmamental podcast.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Billy. Yeah, I'm Alex Pauls. I'm 45 years old. Just like Billy, I was a power electrician for Canadian Utility here up in Canada for, I guess, for 10 years. I was a power electrician, and then I went into the engineering office for another 5 or 6 years, and then I did some technical sales as well. So I have a long background in electrical utility work, power electrician work. I've been working with my wife now at KP Design for 6 or 7 years. We do websites, graphic design, branding. We do all sorts of really cool stuff. She's done all the branding for the Firmamental podcast as well. Myself and Raul, we've been doing the Firmamental podcast for over a year. So you go check out thefirmamentalpodcast.com. Check out some of our swag, some of our gear. And yeah, we're just trying to grow ourselves too on all our social media channels. Yeah, basically my wife and I have been married for 25 years, together for 30, high school sweethearts. We have two young daughters and I have a dog named Bear. And here I am on the Permaculture Pimpcast. Everybody knows everything about me.
Yeah. So tell us, I mean, real quick. So folks, they have a really great podcast over there. I'm good friends with Alex and also his co-host, Raul. And you guys have a podcast over there. Why don't you kind of give them the background? I mean, I've made no bones about, I mean, there's no need to censor yourself in terms of anything really on this podcast. But I've made it very, very clear that, you know, I've had the fittest flat earther on here, and you guys cover a fair amount of that, but you also cover a lot of other material. Why don't you give us a little rundown on your podcast for the folks that haven't yet subscribed that might want to check you out?
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because I know that we started out as this big conspiracy theory podcast, and we wanted to be like the direction that Joe Rogan was going before he kind of sold out. And I still feel like we're doing that. We're doing a lot of really good alternative. Like we've had the Permaculture Pimpcast on, Billy Bond. Like I never knew anything about permaculture, and when you came on, I'm like, man, this guy is my favorite scientist. And then we have other people that do alternative health through medicinal plants, exercise, diet, whatever. We talk about all sorts of crazy paranormal stuff. That's not my wheelhouse. That's more Raul's thing. He loves, you know, Bigfoot and things like that. But we really do cover a whole bunch of different topics. And once in a while, we just throw down and we get really deep into the conspiracy world, because for a lot of people, I think, just like me, the pandemic was a huge wake-up call that, you know, look at what they can do with misinformation and propaganda. And what can we do as just regular guys going out and creating content, finding other excellent individuals to talk about whatever the news isn't talking about. And that's kind of what we're going to dive into today, is the devil's in the distractions. They're always trying to distract us with all these different things. And we're just trying to ground you, bring you back to reality, to the things that matter the most, and to look at things from different angles, not just from the fear point of view, but from the prepared point of view, how to deal with things, what's going on in the real world, and just break it down. So I think we do a great job of that. And you know what? We have some laughs. We do some jokes here and there, and we just have a good time. So I think the show is, it makes me happy. It's kind of my therapy, and the people that I've met along the way have just blessed my life 10,000 fold. Like, I can't say enough good things about the people that I've met. So I'm just really proud to be a part of it.
Well, it's a real joy to see where how you guys have developed and where you're going with it, and to see you really kind of stretch your wings in terms of your interview style and all, which, you know, some of it, as I've told you before, I'd like to copy myself because you're extraordinary. You're in terms of your listening, and you ask like extraordinary questions. Both of you guys do, but it's really cool to see both of you come from a different. What makes the show so doggone bloody entertaining is the fact that you guys, you hit things from a very different, it's like the Odd Couple to a certain extent, but it works. It absolutely works. So folks, if you haven't subscribed over there at the Firmer Metal Podcast, you might want to go check them out. Because yeah, I don't miss anything. I mean, I listen to everything these guys put out, and they're friends of mine. And you know, it's pretty awesome to see them develop and really come up with some really good stuff. So Alex, I want to get down to brass tacks on this thing because it's man, I can't think of anything more prescient. Now, you came up with this essay a while ago concerning, you know, everybody knows the expression, the devil's in the details, the devil's in the details. But I love what you did and how you made a spin on it. So why don't you tell us how you came up with that? Because it was pretty cool to hear the genesis of where that even began.
Yeah. And, you know, for you, I kind of had my aha moment in the shower. I often spend a lot of time thinking, and that's where I kind of get my mind seeds from God. And this came to me. The devils and the distractions. And it was very much written for the everyman. And especially for myself, it was a way for me to check in with myself and how I am being distracted from my higher purposes. And even now going over this with you again, it's a good reminder for me because I constantly find myself falling for the traps that are so well hidden. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people can relate to this. And as we dig into it, we'll relate to everything that's very, very current and maybe even for all of our time here. I mean, I have the blessing of being 45 years old in my prime, middle aged, and being able to look back on half my life and see, you know, where I've kind of gone for it, where I've taken risks, what's distracted me from, you know, achieving some of the things that I've really wanted to achieve. And still be able to course correct. I know that I'm running out of time because I'm halfway through. That's something that I'm dealing with too right now. As my 46th birthday is approaching, it's very, very interesting to feel like I don't have as much time to make mistakes. So I have to be very, very diligent in the things that I want to do and which direction I want to point my compass.
Well, in this world right now, every single thing is all about distraction. And in fact, I did a video on YouTube on my Permapastures Farm channel where I was talking about how some of the things have kind of gotten away from me because I allowed myself to be completely, I think maybe that I had you in the back of my mind and what you had spoken about regarding this topic and how I'd let some things get away in my food forest down there. I mean, not irreparably, but to the point where it's like, okay, there's certain areas where I really need to start over again. And the only reason that happened was because I allowed myself to be too consumed, even though I am very aware of the fact of what the powers that shouldn't be are trying to do. And I still find myself falling right back into that trap. And that's exactly what I want you to get into, Alex. So let's just dig right in. And, let's just go ahead and start with it. I mean, take it away.
Sounds good. And we'll, you know what, you and me, we'll go back and forth. We'll go through this together, and it doesn't have to be a big presentation. It's definitely meant for you and me to bounce things off of each other. But to relate it to what's going on right now, if anybody that's been on social media can relate to the Olympics and what kind of a gong show it's been over the last week, it doesn't have to be that. Like, we could all very, very easily turn off our phones and not fall for it, and yet it's still shoved down our throats, whether it's on the news, whether it's coming through our phones, whether it's coming through our friends, our enemies, whatever. Somebody is talking about this nonsense, and it's all by design. So I just want to just quickly remind everybody that if you ever are watching the news or you're watching social media and you catch yourself getting emotionally invested, getting upset, getting angry, that is by design. That is, it's not your fault. It's something for you to look at yourself and say, oh, I need to recognize this. I need to take a step back and I need to see that they're harvesting my energy. This is all part of the plan. It's all about harvesting either your rage, your frustrations, your whatever. That's all it is. It's the harvesting of energy. So yeah, we're going to dig right into this here. So the devils and the distractions, and I always start with, you know, who is the one that's trying to distract us? And it really is, you know, the devil, the forces of evil. For anybody that's in the audience now, if you're kind of on the atheist side, I would cautiously warn you that the things that you don't know can still hurt you. And we are in a spiritual realm, and, you know, you don't have to take my word for it. You just have to try and, you know, see these things for yourself. You need to put on the they live glasses and see that there is something bigger than just us in our little meat suits. And we're just running around working our 9-to-5 jobs. Like, there is a battle of good and evil. It's very much a hero's journey. We're very much in a choose your own adventure novel. And the things that we do with our lives really do matter. So please listen to me when I say this, that your life is extremely important and you are an extremely valuable individual. And anyone that tries to tell you that you're a space monkey flying through the galaxy and you don't matter at all, you're just cosmic fart in the wind, that is an absolute, absolute distraction made by the devil. That 1,000%. And I'll arm wrestle anybody who wants to argue with me on that.
Well, it's not just, I mean, going back to the Olympics, you know, it went from a gong show to a dong show with every trans testicle this side of the Mississippi, or that side of it rather, running across that stage, and everybody was absolutely outraged. I mean, even people that would ordinarily find themselves, you know, strangely enough, I wasn't at all surprised. I wasn't when I heard about this and I saw, you know, I'm trying to be as careful as I can, because to a certain extent, with the nature of the work I do, it, you know, I kind of have to stay abreast of what's going on. But on the same token, I'm also well aware of the Luciferian whack jobs that we're dealing with here. So when they did it at the Olympics, I'm like, okay, so they have so little respect for you, me, and everybody else out there that they no longer, before they would try, you would have to have these people that specialized in esoteric knowledge to tease out or make, because it was hidden in there. It was subliminal. It was below the surface, and you couldn't see it unless you were somebody who was trained in such things. And now all of a sudden they have so little respect for us, they don't even try to hide it. There's a grown man on stage with his junk hanging out. And I'm like, okay, man, but the thing is, I wasn't even outraged. I wasn't even surprised. I was like, okay, what else do you expect from a pig but a grunt? And that's exactly what we got out of him. But yeah, everybody lost their mind on that. And it's like every single week, there's one or two, even seven outrages in the course of 1 week. So yeah, it's easy to get caught up in these things, bro.
For sure. And not that I'm calling out for violence, but isn't it interesting that the country that brought you the Charlie Hebdo incident, where they were drawing pictures of Muhammad, and even myself at the time, I was like, wow, it's, what an overreaction from the Islamic community that they would go so far as to kill people. But did they try anything against Islam during the Olympics? Did they try to mock Muhammad? No, they effed around and they found out pretty quick. Like, and it's going to either come to that point, or they're just going to have to accept the fact that there's 2 billion Christians protesting and coming down on them, and that we're not turning the other cheek anymore. Because to me, it's extremely disrespectful to even mock people with, oh, this was a Greek, this was, you just don't understand. You don't understand. This is a Greek thing. Or even the boxing thing. It's like, okay, the boxing thing, the time for the outrage was before the Olympics even started. Allowing a questionable person in and they got through, the time for outrage is over. Like, it's not, there's no longer a time for outrage. If the female boxers did not want to compete any longer, they would just, either step down or forfeit, or maybe even all the females in the Olympics would take a step back and say, look, these games aren't going on with us until these questionable things are resolved. And those people that have the power to do that are not doing it. You and I, we have nothing to do with it. It's the people with the power, and that would be the female Olympians. They need to take the step back, and they're not doing it. So they need to suck it up and be the ones that are responsible for this kind of nonsense that's going on. And that's really all there is. The whole controversy, that has nothing to do with you and me or the people. That's just energy harvesting.
I just don't even know why anybody's even watching anymore. I mean, there was a time in my life, man, where the Olympics are going on, bro. I wanted to catch every single, especially the summer. Well, it really didn't matter. Even summer and winter Olympics, man, it was, I don't know the name of one single athlete that's competing in any of this. And I'm like, okay, I'm not at all invested, but let me just circle back to your previous point. Sure. You know, it sure is funny that with that whole spectacle that happened there, the Muslims were more outraged at that spectacle than the Christians were. Right. Even Muslims are saying, like, Jesus is the most quoted prophet in the Quran, and they're put out by it. They weren't happy with it. But by and large, in the evangelical world here in the United States of Amnesia, I mean, there might be a little passing glance, but by and large, nobody seems to care. But frankly, I mean, I've kind of checked out of anything. As you and I were talking before the show, yeah, I'm a sucker for superhero movies, Marvel movies, all those types of things. Yeah, I got, you know, there are certain areas where I'll go into the Matrix. And then, yes, even in those movies, you know, I'm, you know, Captain America is a counselor to gay men or whatever the case may be, or Wakanda Forever, where, you know, it's not hard to see that all the women are the superheroes out there, but the guys have kind of acquiesced in this thing. Yeah, you can see all of that. I mean, and you see it unfolding, but I'm so checked out of that matrix that I am. But, you know, admittedly, there are times, and this is going right back to your essay where the devil's in the distractions, because there are times where I go through this thing. And if I'm completely honest, man, if I don't have a really good lock on my mind, I find myself descending into the madness that everybody else is a part of to a degree. Maybe I catch myself. Maybe sometimes I don't. But that's exactly where what you were talking about. Okay, so the media. Yeah, that's one of the biggest areas where they're going to stick it to you, or these sporting events, you know, things like that. Or even presidential elections, whatever the case may be. These are all, when I know that both teams are bought and paid for, whether it's Fox News or MSNBC, or whether it's Republicans and Democrats behind closed doors, they're all working for the same, you know, corrupt entities. So let me throw it on back to you, bro. So where do you want to go?
Yeah, well, I want everybody to know that the woke agenda will cannibalize itself. The writing's on the wall. They have such a hard time even like policing themselves that they will eventually just eat themselves. And this whole presidential thing with Kamala Harris is just unbelievable. How it's so funny how even Trump called her out that she was Indian and now she's black. And it's like, oh my goodness. It's like, it's just so crazy to me that in America that this is still going on in 2024. And there are still people that are falling for it. I would say the beauty of Canada is that we accept our multiculturalism so much more. And I think that we've just been multicultural and accepting of that for quite some time. America's history is quite different. It is what it is, but I just can't believe that any like civilized country in the year 2024 can still fall for this nonsense. Like it's such a propaganda distraction. So, I mean, it's very appropriate. It's a very appropriate to talk about this while we talk about the devils and distractions, because race, once you kind of, you know, up level as a human being and realize that we're all people, some of us are NPCs. That's one thing that I'm starting to struggle with and realize that, yeah, I can't save everybody. And that actually does kind of break my heart and make me sad. But is everyone even real? Are certain people just brought to us from, you know, this realm to just test us in different ways, and then they just kind of fade away, disappear? I don't know. Maybe that's kind of the magic of where we are. I know that it sounds a little out there, but I don't know. Nothing surprises me anymore.
I don't think it's that far out there, brother. I'll be completely straight up honest. When I go to something like, let's say, a homesteading festival, I'm by and large, I know that everybody I'm going to be around there has got their head screwed on straight. I mean, by and large, I mean, you just feel like, okay, man, this is really, really, there's a bunch of people here I'd love to be neighbors with. And, you know, it's just everybody is congregated in that place. And then what you find out is that they are also the outliers in the areas where they come from. So whether it's you and I chewing the fat here on a podcast or whatever the case may be, by and large, nine out of 10 people I come across when I do interact with the rest of the world is really a non-player character. I mean, I hate to say this. I mean, and there's members of my own family, bro.
Me too.
You know, you could sit here. I'm like, okay, hey, do you have a lock on or do you have any, are you looking at what's going on in the world? Do you think maybe you might want to put back a little bit of food or, you know, instead of going on your fifth vacation in the last 5 months, you think maybe instead of you doing this and you being up to your eyeballs in debt to, let's say, whatever entity or whatever the case may be, do you think maybe it might make a little bit of sense for you to kind of, you know, maybe take a step back and save a little bit? I mean, inflation's going up, but man, you'd never know it. I mean, these are people in my own family, dude, not my wife and my son are obviously wide awake, but I'm talking about extended members of my family where you can barely even breach these conversations. And if you do, they just tune it out. And I'm like you said, Alex, from the very beginning, COVID did a lot. It was honestly in my household, it was the best thing that ever happened to us. I've never been more productive in my life. But in the case of other people, I think it made them go, that pendulum swung two ways. It either, I think, woke people up or made them go deeper into the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a huge blessing too. At the time, the only thing that really drove me crazy about COVID was not being able to go places I wanted to go.
Yeah.
And in Canada, it was way crazier because we had vaccine passports and things like that. Like, I really did feel like I was trapped, and I did feel like many times where I was the only person walking around without a mask and just begging people to wake up. And that was even after my wife told me, it's like, she's like, that's enough, no more mask, nothing. And even me, I'm a people pleaser. I'm like, but I don't want people to get angry with us. She's like, it doesn't matter, it's been long enough, we know that this is nonsense, it's time to stop virtue signaling. And, you know, good intentions, what do they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and it's time to stop with that nonsense and get back on track with actually doing the right thing for yourself and your community and your family.
So what other distractions do you see out there? I think it goes for me. I mean, I mean, they're legion, man. I don't even know where to start. Yeah. It's, I mean,
I got you covered.
Yeah. Okay. Fire away, bro, because I obviously the media, but where else are you seeing it come from?
For sure. Well, first of all, we'll just take one step back and we'll say, so what is the, like, what, why is he, or not why, but what is he doing? He's actually like, what is the devil doing? He's actually distracting us from fulfilling our overall missions, our daily missions, and our overall missions of our entire lives. That's a very significant thing that should not be lost on anyone. And honestly, rewind back 30 seconds. He's distracting us from fulfilling our missions. God, wife, kids, family, work, personal development, community service, taking care of ourselves, all these things, we are being distracted from those things. And what's more important than that? Nothing. Without that, there is nothing.
Yeah, bro, I couldn't agree more. You know, for a whole lot of years, man, the Lord has been truly, long suffering and forgiving with me, because for so many years, having worked in the talk radio business and having worked to a certain extent as a political analyst, dude, it's amazing how, you know, how you go to a job. If you work away from your home, you think about this, you get up in the morning. Okay. You're refreshed. You go to work and you give the very best of what you have to total strangers. And then your family gets what's left over when you get back to the house. And yep. Then if you're lucky, you might not work on the weekends and maybe get a little bit of time. Kids want to go do this, that, and that, and that. But, man, you're wore out. So you're so distracted by it, and then you might feel as if you need to see what's going on in the world. But at the end of the day, the people you love most get the very best out of you because you are, in fact, distracted by the things that are going around. So,
sure.
I mean, this is what I enjoyed, you know, this is what I love about you, Alex, is that there's always, it's always solutions based. It's not just, hey, we have this problem. And like I was talking to Rob from Disorganized Productions, the conversation went into a direction I didn't expect it, where we're spending most of the podcast talking about solutions and, you know, the things we do, whether it's deep breathing, whether it's, you know, whether it's going out there getting morning sun. Rob's telling me about this little hum thing that he's doing. And it almost sounded like one of those Australian dudes blowing down one of those pipes. But I mean, you know, whatever it took for him to decompress from the nonsense around him. And he's in Europe, obviously. And, you know, all these little things. And then when you get down fundamentally to what it is, it's devil's distractions. I mean, it really and truly is.
For sure. And we'll get into the brass tacks. And really, I mean, spoiler alert, it really does come down to time management and your habits and how you're spending your days. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at all these things. But like the next question we need to ask ourselves is, where are these distractions coming from? And obviously we already mentioned social media, definitely our smartphones. Anybody who has a smartphone knows that thing can distract you three ways from Sunday. You got YouTube, you got games, you got text messages, the internet, everything is in the palm of your hands and it's all there to distract you. Yes, it's a great tool, but it is a major distraction. How many times have you picked up your phone to do something, got distracted, and then the reason you picked up your phone to do the thing, you don't even remember what that was anymore? Like, yep. That happens to me probably three times a day. We got drugs and alcohol are a huge distraction. Sex can be a big distraction. Video games, Netflix, like I said, YouTube, shopping. I actually use shopping as a big distraction. I, you know, if I'm ever feeling like I need a little pick-me-up, a little dopamine hit, I'll order something online. It's fun to go get something from Amazon once in a while. Distracts me from maybe I'm having a bad day. Boom, go shopping with my daughters. I'll buy them something, make them happy. But it's a distraction. Like, all these material things aren't the keys to happiness. They're just ways to kind of take the pain away for a little bit. But after a while, if you're not dealing with the things, like your overall, like that's the thing that I suffer with, is if I don't feel like I'm accomplishing my missions, if I'm not writing my book, if I'm not working on the podcast, if I'm not building something for my family or working hard or accomplishing something, I go to bed at night and I feel terrible. I actually feel like I just wasted like precious time. And the older you get, the more the precious the time becomes. So it's very, very, yeah, it's just very important to look at these things.
Let me talk about a solution that I've worked on based on what you just said there regarding the phones. Okay. So like so many of us out there, the phone, I would bet for 99% of the people I know of, it's the first thing you touch in the morning and it's the last thing you touch before going to bed. And I'll be honest with you, I had to retrain, and bro, it was like breaking an addiction to make sure that when I get up in the morning, I have my other phone, you know, it's not even in the room, dude. I got like an iPad or whatever, and that's what's in the room. I use it as my alarm clock. And, you know, if I remember, it goes into a Faraday bag, but, you know, in the morning, I've made sure, because the devil is in the distractions. This is one solution I've done, and good night, man. I got to say, it was painful, is to not allow myself to even pick up that phone, look at anything, do anything else until I give the good Lord my first fruits. Meaning, what that means for me is I get up in the morning, as soon as that alarm goes off, I roll over, I'm laying on my back, I look up, and I think of Psalm 5. You know, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And then I look up, and then I don't know what I'm expecting, but I remember that verse as soon as I get up in the morning. Then, as soon as I get out of that, now I'm still not touching the phone, but this is the polar opposite of what I've ever done. I'm like, before I do anything, I have to earn my way to that phone, so to speak, is the way I had to reframe it to get myself out of that distraction. Because you get up in the morning, and like you said, Alex, to a certain extent, it's a dopamine hit. I'm like, okay, I need to do this. I need to do that. I'm a businessman and I'm running a lot of different things. And I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to give the Lord my first fruits. So I get out of that bed. I go out. I put a half a teaspoon of Celtic sea salt in the water, drink that, go back, get on my knees, and I pray properly. And I pray to the Lord, you know, for all the wonderful things he's given me and to make this a wonderful day. Pray for my family, my friends, people like yourself. And I get off my knees. Then I go back there. Okay, now that I've given the Lord my first fruits, I'm going to give myself the next ones. Remember, you got to put on that mask on yourself first before you put it on the person next to you in that airplane. So I go back there, get my bare feet on the ground, either on a grounding mat in my bedroom or outside if weather isn't bad. And I go out there, and the sun's usually not up by then, but I put my feet on that mat, and then I do, while listening to the Bible app, I will do Wim Hof breathing, 3 sets of 30 breaths. Okay, when I'm done with that, there's a whole routine I go through now before I ever pick that phone up. And then until I'm done, we got a new routine where Michelle and I are working out together in the morning. Bro, I don't even put the Wi-Fi on that phone. I don't check even what's going on into the world until first I've dropped my first fruits to the Lord, then to myself, then to my wife. And then when all that other, and then also my animals come before then, they have to be done. All of that has to be done before I even pick that thing up to see what's going on in the world. And to break that addiction, that distraction, as you call it, which is appropriate, bro, it was like breaking, I've never been on crack, but if somebody was trying to break a crack addiction, I would imagine it would be no more difficult. But, you know, that to get around just that part in the morning, it took a great deal of effort, and now it's second nature, but it took some time.
But it sounds so amazing. I mean, as an audience member listening to you say that, it's like, yeah, that's it right there. That's the way I want to start my day. That's the right way to start your day. That's how you be a productive person. And hey, like I said, I'm writing this for myself too. I've been in a bad habit where I've been starting to check my phone first thing in the morning again. And it's like, oh man. And it's an instant energy drain. It's not an energy hit. It doesn't energize you. It takes away your energy. So I think it's so important that everybody listens to what you just said. That is a huge solution, because when does the devil come for you? When you first awaken. When you first awaken and you're in that vulnerable, like your most magical stage, where the first thing you should do is wake up and be grateful for another day and pray and be that. That's what I do. I practice a gratitude in the morning.
Me too.
Before anything, I'm always grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my house. I look around and I see all these beautiful things, and I know it's because of the things that I've done with God's help. I don't take any credit for that. And I would say that the next routine would be right before you go to bed as well. Think about all these people that watch like Netflix until they pass out, or they're watching like CSI, all these murder things. And I mean, I watch TV before bed, yes, but not right before I go to bed. I'll give myself probably an hour before I actually fall asleep without any TV. I'll try and put the phone away too. I'll spend some time with my wife, my dog, my kids. And to me, when you first awaken, get that Billy Bond routine set up. And then as before you go to bed too, don't bombard yourself with negative things before you go to sleep. Go to bed peacefully, and it's amazing how you'll be able to recharge yourself. It's funny, like I know a lot of people too, myself included. You go to the washroom, you bring your phone with you, multitasking. That's I mean, think about us back in the 90s, Billy. We go to the washroom and we'd just be bored. And it wouldn't take us an hour to go to the bathroom. We'd be in and out. We'd be back out playing on our bikes before you know it. Not this 20 minutes waiting for your legs to fall asleep, scrolling Instagram or TikTok.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up because I'm working with your producer, Claude, right now on a night routine, just as I have one in the morning. And Claude, I don't know if he told you about this, but, you know, I got Claude to work with me on this little project where, just like everybody else, man, you're self-employed just like I am. And so I work three times harder than I ever did working for somebody else. But this is work I love to do. Mm-hmm. But I did find myself, like you were talking about, maybe not Netflix, but it would be some JFK assassination drama. I mean, what other people watch, you know, I'm like trying in some way to educate myself about a topic that I want to know more about, whether it's Genesis 6 Giant or, you know, what really happened during the sinking of the Lusitania, or what were the original origins of World War One? What kicked it off? Because we don't have good answers for those things. I would go to sleep listening to those things, but I started a new routine and I learned part of it from Dr. Bruce Lipton. And he had talked about how you can reprogram your mind when you're in that state between conscious and unconscious, how that is the best way to reprogram bad things out of your mind if you do the right things. So he had suggested, and I'm not sure I'm getting his whole thing right because I've actually bastardized it a little bit, but I've worked with Claude to basically overlay the audio Bible of the Psalms, overlaid with solfeggio tones, which are healing tones, healing music. And Claude, I mean, we were just on the phone a couple of hours ago talking about this very thing. You know, he's trying to dial this thing in to get it, you know, the quality and everything the way he likes. And we've been kind of going back and forth, and I'm probably frustrating him, you know, adding other things to it. And this poor guy, I mean, he's thinking, you know, man, this guy's probably driving me nuts. But the idea is to create that same routine for when I go to bed. Well, I will tell you now, and I told Rob a little bit, it was kind of in the beta testing when I talked to Rob, but what I've done is made something of a mixtape of the Old Testament, or the Psalms rather, overlaid with the healing tones, and I've been going to bed to this stuff. And it goes off at about 30 minutes or whatever the case may be. And what I've found, I mean, prior to this, I kid you not, bro, I would wake up in the morning and it was like I had some weird music programmed into my head, some 80s song that I didn't even like, and I couldn't even tell you where it came from. From the spiritual realm, I don't know. It isn't even music I like. I've had Claude do this for me, and now I've been doing it probably pretty solid for the last several days. And bro, I got to say, it's making all the difference in the world. I feel like my sleep is far deeper. I feel like, and then I even have another one. I played it for Rob in the last program where it's me talking to me while I'm sleeping.
Oh, wow.
And if I had my phone in here, I would let you hear part of it. But it was basically me saying to myself, hey, you know, because of how I grew up and like you being something of a people pleaser, or being a person that just didn't have a whole lot of self-worth, whether it was family reasons, whatever the case may be, realizing that I can deprogram myself from this stuff in record time. If I'm telling myself with those healing tones in the background saying, you know what, dude, you're worth more than you think. Even now, when people compliment me on the work I do, I usually shuffle those compliments away because I don't feel like I don't think I'm the value that some people think I am.
Yeah, we're cut from the same cloth that way.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I just don't, I know that I'm helping people, and my business is a byproduct. Whatever career we have is a byproduct of just doing good, solid work. And I'm comfortable with that. But for people thinking that I'm more than what I am, it's very uncomfortable for me, but I'm being able, sorry about this long-winded thing, but I'm trying to bring up solutions as well, bro, is that as I got this morning routine, now I've developed an unbelievable sleeping routine, whether it's me listening to the Old Testament with the solfeggio tones or me listening to me tell me the man I ought to be. And bro, I'm already seeing fruit from it. And I'm hoping some way, somehow to release this. Some of this stuff is kind of copywritten, so I'm not sure that I'm able to do it, but maybe in the future, man, this could be something that could help rewrite those bad habits of going to sleep like I always have, watching whatever it was or what somebody else may, instead of saying, okay, now I'm tired. Okay, I'm going to put these earplugs in. They're going to go off in 30 minutes, and I'm going to be asleep, and I am going to program my brain with the best thing possible before I go to sleep. Yeah. Sorry about the long
It's all good, man. You know, and what I was going to add to that is, could you imagine how good it would feel if you and me knew that like an 18-year-old or an 18 to 30-year-old was listening to this right now, and they started, you know, 15, 20 years before you and I doing these things? Like, what kind of a lottery gift? Like, you and me are giving a lottery ticket to a young person, a young man or a young woman, whoever starts to implement this now and just listens to a couple middle-aged old timers talk about, man, if I could go back in a time machine, how valuable would this be? And that's honestly, this is another reason why I wrote this, was if there was anything I could give my younger self or somebody that was younger to please listen to and implement in their lives, because there's so many more distractions now than when you and I were children, or when you and I were teenagers. We had like real problems when we were teenagers. Like, we had the real world to deal with, not these like cyber bullies or nonsense on, because we didn't care. You might watch the news at 6 o'clock and turn it off, and who cares? You go about your day. Now we got 24/7 news hitting you from all over. Like, I don't care what's going on in Ukraine. I don't care what's going on in Israel. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't matter to me, because I don't have anything to do with that stuff. I don't even know if it's real. It could just be something from the Matrix. It could just be something from the Matrix that's just trying to poison my story, and I have nothing to do with that. And that's just the way it is. So I think that to continue on too, it's like when these things are happening to us, like dinner time is a very sacred time in my house where I spend that time with my family. There's no TV, there's no phones. If there were phones at the table and we were just looking at them and not spending any time together, that would be a huge heartbreak for me. And I would say that basically any time that you can be bored as well. I don't spend enough time being bored. Like, when we were kids, we would kind of sit and be bored. I remember, so this happened to me the other day, and this is such a perfect example. I dropped my wife off at a doctor's appointment, and I pulled up to the house, and I just sat in the car for a couple minutes, 2-3 minutes, Billy. And it was so cool. I just sat and I stared at the front of my house, and I'm like, before my wife comes home, I'm going to build her an archway, and I'm going to decorate it, and I'm going to move, because I had this eavesdrop that was in the way that was going across my sidewalk, the way the builders built my house. And it drove me crazy. For 5 or 6 years, I've lived in this house. And just that 2 or 3 minutes I sat in the driveway, and I'm like, spent a few minutes being bored. And all of a sudden, the way my mind started working was like, oh, boom, boom, boom. I built this archway out of wood in my mind. And then I just got out of the car, got my tools out, and I just started building it. Just from the devil not distracting me for 2 minutes, all of a sudden I could create like the way God wanted me to. And I'll send you the pictures after. It turned out beautiful.
Bro, that's the you're bringing up something that's so incredibly important right now, but so many of us are so afraid of, and that's being within our own thoughts. And that's, you know, doing a lot of study, you know, looking into the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza. And it is funny, when you learn to meditate, the hardest thing to do when you meditate is to keep your brain focused on a particular thing without letting it wander. Let's say in your meditation, you're on a certain thing. Well, as we become, as this society, this curry in a hurry society becomes, more distracted, as you say, and as I would agree, as it becomes more distracting, it is harder for your brain to focus. So for you to sit there in the driveway and for you to be able to do that is really astonishing in today's age. I remember, I guess now it would be close to 9 months ago that I started doing some of the brain work from Dr. Dispenza. And man, it was driving me crazy because I couldn't, it was embarrassing, and I didn't want to admit it to anybody. And you're doing most of this work as self-work.
Right.
That I was so flippant. I could not keep my brain, you know, like a lion tamer. You have to be that lion tamer for your brain. There was a time, like you said, I would have been perfectly, absolutely perfectly comfortable in my own mind and in my own space. But that was 30 years ago. Here I am now. And because I've been so indoctrinated like everybody else with, you know, feeling like you got to do this, be this, or think this, or whatever the case may be, to settle my brain down and to be that lion tamer for my brain, it would have taken longer, but it took a solid week for me to do that. And Alex, I have to do the very same thing. I have to purposely do it. I have what's called a pulse electric magnetic frequency mat. And what this thing does in a nutshell is it's basically hitting you. You get about 8 hours of grounding in about 8 minutes on this thing. And it can be used for healing. It's amazing how you can set these frequencies on there. It's like the newest, it's one of the biggest, baddest things on the market. Well, we have one. And while I'm doing it, I always like to double up or triple up on whatever if I'm doing one thing, I try to couple it with something else at the same time. And lately I'm trying to memorize the whole book of Psalms. Now that's 150 books and I'm only six or five in, well, I guess seven total so far that I know by memory. But wow. As I'm laying on this thing, I'm reciting this audibly with my mouth as I'm laying on this PEMF mat. And to do that, I found my brain as of late unable to, I'm rote mechanically saying these words, but my brain is somewhere else, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And I'm like, definitely. Okay. Yep. So it tells me I got a problem. I need to be able to focus on this. And when I'm able to do it, the results are astounding. But yeah, it goes right back to what you said. I mean, being able to sit in front of your driveway without a phone to ponder, to look at this thing and then imagine it in your head, and then better still to be able to put foot to butt and get this done. That's showing you overcoming these distractions, but you can't possibly do that. Nobody can possibly do that without being conscious of the fact that it's happening in the first place, but most of us aren't.
For sure. And just like, I always bring up when I was learning to ride a motorcycle, I never knew how to ride a motorcycle until I was about 39 years old, 38 years old. And for me to use my left hand clutch, right hand throttle and brake, right foot brake, and left foot for gear shifting. When you're on a bike and you're using all four extremities and you're first learning, you are 1,000% conscious. You are not thinking about bills.
Yep.
You are not thinking about work. You are thinking about not dying on this two-wheeled monster that can take you out at any minute because you haven't quite harnessed it yet. But now, after I've been riding for 7 years now, I can drive that thing in my sleep. I don't even have to think about it. And sometimes that scares me too, because I should be concentrating more, especially when I'm, you know, going 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle. I'm starting to get into the turns of the mountains, and that's another amazing experience too. But your brain just gets used to things, and then it'll start to wander, and it really wants a new challenge. So it'll always be aching. And I think you and me are the same with that. Like, if I mastered something as an electrician, I'll get bored of it very quick, and I need to find the next challenge and the next challenge. And that's just the way I'm wired. And I think a lot of people are like that too, because I always say that I'm kind of the everyman. I might not be everybody, but I'm pretty much the average of most people.
No, I would say you're considerably more than that, because you're a thinker, and most of us don't do any of that. I mean, and it goes right back to the work of Dr. Dispenza, that most of us, and I think he does a colossal job of proving the point that every thought most people have this day, they will have the same exact thoughts tomorrow, because they're not conscious of the fact that they're running on autopilot.
Right. I would say 90% of the day we run on autopilot.
Right. But, you know, tell me what happens to me. Like I told you, now this is where I'm going to be very critical of myself, because okay, I told you about my morning routine. And then somewhere between, okay, so I go through and there's a lot that I'm packing in here and I'm not able to tell everybody right now. There's a whole lot that I'm doing. And let's say, truth of it is, this morning, my wife and I, we got back from doing everything from the animals to this, to that, and this. By the time we were done with everything we normally do in the morning, it's probably going on about 10 a.m. And I said to her, I said, you know, Michelle, I really believe we do more before 10 than most people do in a week physically. I mean, physically. I mean, that's that it's a fact. But I will tell you this, Alex, it's about that time. So I'm good up until 10 o'clock where I'm very, very conscious and deliberate of the things I'm doing. So tell me where I'm going wrong, because I just told you a little bit ago that down there in the food forest, I let it get away from me, not because I didn't have the time, which, you know, you feel like you don't. It was because I allowed myself to get caught up in the idiotic distractions, whether it's the political nonsense, the latest, you know, assassination, whether it's the thing going on. And yeah, my heart goes out to the people in Gaza, but at the end of the day, you know, my home is here. But there's something, some disconnect that I'm still trying to examine and figure out that happens after 10 o'clock until later on, where up until that point, I'm hyper-focused on the Lord. I'm hyper-focused on the work I'm doing. I'm hyper-focused on my wife, hyper-focused on the things we have. And then at that 10 o'clock, which is, you know, I come inside and then all of a sudden, I'm easily distracted. Like you said, I'll go to the phone. Perfect example. I'll go there. Let's say it could be something as simple as, you know, looking at your bank account. And then 15 minutes later, I'm on Drudge Report. How did that happen? Or I go to YouTube. I don't have time to watch a lot of other people's videos. I go to YouTube for a specific thing. And then here I am 30 minutes later, I'm working, but I'm also listening to whatever nonsense is on there, or a podcast that I probably ought to titrate myself from, you know?
And you know what? You're human and your brain wants some potato chips. Like you've had all the steak and the vegetables and maybe 10 o'clock is just the time where you have a little bit of potato chips. And the real thing is for time not to get away from you. If you set aside half an hour to an hour, and this is going to be your potato chip time, and you get to figure out what you want that to be, I recommend the Firmamental podcast. I'm a little biased. but it's those kinds of things. If you want to watch some YouTube videos and just go into the matrix for a little bit and enjoy. And it's almost like yawning. It's like when your mind is tired, you'll start to yawn quite a bit. And that's kind of that chance for your brain to do a little bit of a catch its breath as well. And then start going. So I mean, I'm guilty of that too. I can't go 20 hours. I just work constantly. You'll get burnt out too. And I don't know, just wait for the grandkids to come and then you'll be even busier.
Well, yeah, we got one already and we'll see her before too long. And I'm sure I'm looking forward to that kind of busy, but no, I think what I stated to you was almost to a certain extent a rhetorical question, because I did find in the past that when I gave myself blocks of doing that very thing you talked about, like, okay, I'm going to give myself, and I find out that I'm way more productive when I do it that way than when I say, okay, I'm going to work on this project for 45 minutes. And this is what I teach people on my YouTube videos, is that you don't have to finish the project all day. Or, you know, the last video I did is fixing all your problems in 15 minutes, which is something I do. I will allow myself 15 minutes to go work in that food forest. When that clock ticks, bam, I'm done. But you will be shocked at how much you put together over the course of a week just by doing it 15 minutes at a time, because I have other things that also require my attention, but it's not getting caught up in these distractions. I'm sorry, Alex, I don't mean to take you off your point, man. I'm doing too much monologuing here. In terms of, you know, center me again on the distractions. I mean, bro. Sure.
So the next portion would be like to put a magnifying glass on the how we're being distracted. And I know that you and I are going back and forth a little bit on these things, but it's just good to just point it out. Like, for me, I'm distracted with instant gratification. There's something about that instant gratification, ordering something online, distracting myself with food. I don't know. Sex is a thing that I use to cope with if I need to escape from the world. And I have to admit that to myself, which is not an easy thing. Pleasure, temptation, procrastination is a huge thing. How many times does the devil get into my head and tell me, oh, you don't need to do that right now. You can do that later. You can get to it. And then all of a sudden I get this big dopamine hit because I saved something for the absolute last minute and I came through in the clutch. And meanwhile, it would have felt 10 times better to just get it done with. And I know that there's a million people out there that can easily relate with me on that. Victimhood. Victimhood is a huge thing right now. And that is totally by design by the devil, because you and I come from an era where we never, ever cheered for the victim. We always cheered for the underdog who overcame every single obstacle. And now it's the exact opposite. These people that are crying and screaming, no fair, no fair. And then next thing you know, they get these handouts and we're cheering them on. Like, what? Like, seriously, what kind of inverted, perverted world are we living in? And honestly, this is another huge one, guys. Ignoring or silencing that little voice in your head. This is a huge thing. When you stop paying attention to that little voice in your head, and I get goosebumps when I talk about this, this is a huge, important thing that you need to get in touch with yourself again. You need to sit in that driveway and you just need to let that little voice talk to you again. You got to be bored. That's when God will come to you, plant the seed and do incredible things. A huge thing too, childhood traumas that haven't been dealt with. These things come back to nip us when we least expect them. And you'll find when you're overreacting to certain things that shouldn't be overreacted to, that usually stems from something that hasn't been dealt with in the past. Basically creating bad habits that drain you from either your time or your energy, and they distract you from all the important things, even your work. Can you imagine like being on your phone in the bathroom and you get fired because you spent too much time on the phone in your bathroom on the job? Like that's a huge thing. The devil will take you away from the thing that's actually providing for you and your family. And people, I'm sure, are doing this because of addiction to the phone, anxiety, depression. These are all ways that the devil infiltrates our lives. And that's just a huge paragraph to unpack right there, Billy.
Well, I don't even know where to start on that one, man, because
I just dropped a bomb on you, but that's how.
I mean, you name it. I mean, every box there, I think I could check it all the way back to the childhood trauma. Sure. But it's good to know that there are antidotes. I truly believe that, you know, and as far as, you know, this victim, it was like Eleanor Roosevelt said, nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. So, you know, it's also going out there and putting foot to butt to finding solutions to these things, because a lot of the things that I've gone through and a lot of the biohacking and the life hacking and all these other hacks that I'm trying to come up with are really a result of spending so many years of being tied up in that very matrix that I hate so much. And it's feeling rudderless. It's feeling as if you're just kind of floating in the water, and like every other jellyfish out there, you're just going wherever it takes you. But there has to be a proactive effort. You know, every dream has to be implemented with deeds. You know, Michael Jordan could dream all day and night about being the best basketball player ever, but he put the work in. Mm-hmm. Same thing with all these other people who were astonishing at what they did. The level of sacrifice and everything that they put into it is just unimaginable for the average Joe out there. But they don't realize, they just think, oh, this person's just incredibly talented. But what they didn't realize is the amount of work that had to go into it. And that's exactly why I'm trying day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year to try and find hacks to the very things you're talking about. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's always going to be a distraction until you say, okay, where's the big gaping problem in my life? Like I told you, getting up in the morning, grabbing my phone, feeling like, okay, I'll get a jump on the work I need to do as a person who's self-employed. I'll get a jump on it by getting the phone, answering these emails, doing it. No. I'm 10 times more productive now because I'm giving my first fruit to the Lord, to myself, to my wife, to my animals, to my farm, and then to the rest of the world. You have got to find, to a certain extent, to be selfish and work on these very distractions that might be, I mean, it was like somebody said a long time ago, divorce really only happens for one reason. Either one or both of the people involved became selfish. That's really the only reason divorce ever happens, if you really stop to get down to the nuts and bolts of it. Well, there's a point where you can be selfish in terms of trying to do some of this self-improvement, but if you're doing it at the detriment of everybody else around you, because there is such a thing as a permaculture divorce, where people are so inspired by the work they do that, you know, by and large, they're leaving the most important thing out, and that's their families. Next thing you know, wife runs off with a go-go dancer, and then here you are, you know, looking out, going out there looking for the next homestead honey. But yeah, bro, there's so much to unpack there. But man, you have there's so much there, but I can't think of a time, at least in my life, as a man who's about to turn 54 years old, and in my better than 5 decades on this planet, I remember, man, life was just so simple as a kid. If I'm young enough to remember when there was no texting anybody. If you wanted to, you would send them a note. You would write a note and then pass it to them or whatever in class or in the hallway or whatever the case may be. That was our internet at that time. And life was simple. But now, man, I dread the kind of world that some of these kids are going to have to grow up in if they don't have parents like yourself who are so grounded into what's right, what's wrong, you know, how to avoid all these things. And even if you do everything right, you still worry about the fact of like, okay, you know, are they falling into these traps? Mm-hmm. There's so many distractions out there, bro. But, you know, man, your girls, they couldn't have a better dad in terms of, because I hear you on the podcast and I hear the things you say and how you feel starved for time with them, especially as they become older. And as a guy who has a son who's nearly 30 years old, I know exactly what that feels like, where mom and dad ain't cool no more, you know? And you know what you're doing there, you are doing what most people, I don't know of anybody. Well, let me not say it that way. I know of very few families that sit down and have a meal together. Phones get put away. TV's off. We're just going to interact with one another. Dude, I think that's huge. And I think it's going to pay huge dividends down the line in the life of your kids.
Sure. And I mean, going back to some of the things that I'm dealing with too, because I want to, you know, shine the light on myself. I don't want to think that I'm preaching to everybody that I'm perfect. But one of the things that I really struggle with is anxiety and procrastination. I'll put things off. I'll basically self-sabotage myself. And it's so funny how your mind tricks you. Oh, you can just do that tomorrow. It'll be okay. And then you go to bed and I have these guilty feelings. And it's so funny how I'll look and I'll talk to my wife and say, like, after I've accomplished everything I wanted to do in a day, let's say I had a really great day. I was proactive. The anxiety didn't kick in. The procrastination didn't kick in. I just did everything I had to do. Even the things I hated, the crap sandwiches, right? You just ate them and just did it, got it off my list. I feel so much better. And I always feel like a dummy looking at her and say, wow, this feeling that I have is so good. I can go to bed without any guilt, without any anxiety. And it's so weird how these problems, they perpetuate themselves. And even when you know better, you can still fall victim to it. Like you said, trying to break through that like addiction, that crack addiction of that morning routine and build a healthy routine like what you did and how much better it off. You look back at yourself, your old self, and you're kind of ashamed, but you still appreciate the journey and the level up that you did. And the fact that we're talking about this shows people that you know, you just got to be consistent. You might slip a day, but don't let that day turn into 2 days or 3 days. Get back on the horse, do it again, keep the habit consistent. I think it's like 84 days. If you can do something consistently for 84 days, it's a successful habit and you should be okay. You're almost addicted to your new routine, which is a good addiction, right?
Yeah, bro. That's it's still a work in progress, but it's just that middle part of the day, the morning and the night, you know. But like I always say, you don't win this war in miles, you win it in inches. And, you know, you get a victory here. And then, like you said, you know, you say, okay, yeah, I can celebrate this. So I got the morning pretty on lock, you know, that goes well. I got the night, it's a work in progress, but it's getting better. But the fact that we are conscious of these distractions, we're conscious of them. And that's part of it. But going right back to the work of Joe Dispenza, most of us are not and will never be conscious enough. That's you know, when you did that essay, bro, I gained even more respect for you, because I'm like, man, this guy's a serious introspective thinker. I mean, most people do not operate in this way. Most people do not take a serious examination, an audit, if you will, of anything in their lives. I mean, almost none of us do this. We just, you know, with the distractions and the things that are going on in this world, it's a rote mechanical response to pretty much its stimulus and our reaction. It's problem, reaction, solution, but on a smaller micro scale every single day to these things, until you become more of a stoic. And you know, like, let me look at this from the outside for a minute before I get upset about this. Let me just kind of examine this for a minute and let me just kind of take stock of it. It's just being conscious enough to be able to do that. So right now, like you said, by no means do I have it all figured out. This is a work in progress. I got the morning figured out, the night I'm getting mostly there. It's the midday that I'm working on where I am absolutely distracted. And if I'm really honest, man, it comes down to a certain extent, you know, I have to have one leg in social media because it's part of the nature of the work I do. And at the same time, it's being able to titrate just enough of it and to know where to stop. So that's going to be, but you're making me very, very conscious. What other distractions are out there, Alex, or did we hit the finish line?
Well, in my essay, I kind of talk about the seven deadly sins, and we can brush over that, but there's just this one little part where I was just going to read a bit and we can kind of unpack that after.
Sure.
And then that'll be pretty much it. But I don't know. This is my chance to read to you a little bit, and you can sit back and relax, Billy, and just
let you me got it. Best. I'll hit the mute button, brother.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah, so we all struggle with these sins in some form or fashion daily. The devil uses our devices to force us to consume many of the toxins of the world, whether we choose to or not. The act of ignoring our partner, our children, our friends and family, to spend time with our phone, watching people we don't know on a screen, says so much about the way technology has been perverted by the users, newspapers, TV, social media. It's also important to acknowledge the satanic trinity, the Big Bang, evolution, heliosorcery. We live in a time where good is called evil and evil is called good. We live in a time where victimhood is celebrated, like we mentioned earlier. I grew up in a time when we cheered for the underdogs and we didn't deserve anything. I hate it when people say, I deserve this. You deserve nothing in this life. You earn the things. You work hard for the things in your life. And sometimes you get lucky enough and life throws you a bone. And sometimes you get unlucky and you lose someone or something. Everything happens in this world for us. It's not to us. Everything that happens for us is to help teach us something so that we can add it to our toolbox, or else we just keep repeating the same lessons until they are learned. Whether you choose correctly or incorrectly is a matter of user perspective. As long as you are using your free will to choose is the main thing. We all have free will. We need to accept that. Sometimes the worst things ever force us to make drastic changes with incredibly awesome results. our connection to God is being intentionally severed through stranger than fiction measures, the calcifying of our pineal gland through fluoride in the water, radiation, 5G, electromagnetic signals, microwave towers, 24/7 propaganda, 24/7 AI propaganda now, propaganda that makes its own propaganda. It's a clown world. Atheism and the atheist agenda, the people we grow up with in our schools that we go to are pushing this atheism. Atheism is so far from the truth and reality. Atheists might as well be living on Mars because they have absolutely no idea what's going on here on Earth. And yet so many people think that they're intellectually superior to those around them. The arrogance of their supposed superior intellect is their greatest weakness. Whether they like it or not, they do the devil's handiwork, convincing the world that he does not exist, even when he is in plain sight for us and the whole entire world to see. What are your weak points for spiritual attack? Have you recognized where you can strengthen your defenses and put on the full armor of God? This is the part where we start to talk about what we consume mentally, physically, and spiritually, and on purpose. Why is the devil distracting us? He's trying to take us away from our purpose here while we're here on this very, very limited time on Earth. And that's as simple as it is, Billy.
Bam. I don't think I could say it any better, bro. I think that says it all. I truly think it does. I mean, there's really nothing to add to that, bro. And I can't think of a more timely message. When you look at the totality of all the different things that are coming at us, man, I truly understand why people just kind of, there've been a number of people that I've known about that basically sold everything and then moved off to the wilds of Alaska or, just to get back to things that are real, the things that are mostly real, things that matter, seeing what I'm doing out here and I'm transforming soil or dirt into soil or, feeding animals for free and showing other people how to do it, all these different things, those things truly matter. And, all this other stuff, you're going to make me, you have made me take a real serious look at all the other idiotic distractions in my life. Because really, when I get down to brass tacks, I think about, the end of Ecclesiastes, where it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And he even talks about earlier in there, like, young man, in your youth, let your heart cheer you in your youth. And when you're old, you're going to realize all that stuff was vanity for the most part. And that, the only thing really worthwhile that we're ever going to leave on this planet, you and me both, for the most part, is our progeny. You're never, ever going to wish you got that work promotion. You're never going to wish for these other things. You're just going to wish that your family and your friends and the people you love, did you spend enough time with them? Did you give them that vote of encouragement? Did you remove yourself from the distractions long enough to see to the real needs that these people and yourself might actually have? And doing some of that people care we talk so much about in permaculture, bro. That's why it's such a joy to have you on this show, Alex, because really and truly, everything you're talking about there, really at the heart and nuts and bolts of it, goes right back to permaculture. And you can't do that. We have three ethics in permaculture: earth care, people care, and the abundance given to the previous two. And you just spoke a whole lot, whether you know it or not, about people care. And recognizing these distractions and getting to the other side of them, bro. I can't think of a better way. I can't think of a better approach.
No, I appreciate it, Billy. I know that there isn't a one size fits all solution for everyone, but I think that just having that morning routine, having that evening routine, that to me is 80% right there. And having that special time around dinner time in the middle of the day to spend that time with your family, that could be another 10% as well. That is a huge fix for a lot of the distractions that's going on. Spending some time reading, spending some time in the Word, spending some time listening to the voice in your head. I keep things simple, so simple that I'll just talk to myself about Genesis. I'll talk to myself about the Ten Commandments. I love the Ten Commandments. If everybody just lived their world or their life according to the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't even need police. We would live in a paradise. And that's how simple things are. But as soon as you start, oh, I need to steal this to so that this can happen, or I need to kill this person in order to still live. Like, once we start negotiating on all the Ten Commandments, we start blurring the lines. And I think that that's why we have such moral chaos too. And I know I'm getting a little off topic, but there really is a lot of simple solutions to a lot of our problems. And it all starts with us. I can't change everybody around me. All I can do is make me the best version of me, and hopefully I can inspire as many people as possible.
And you do. You do a fantastic job of doing it, and your essay and you being on this show right now almost certainly is going to have an enormous impact on a number of people out there. Tell everybody where they can find you, Alex. Once again, I know we covered it in the beginning, but for the people that are getting in late.
For sure. So you can find us at the permaculture.
Yeah.
For an hour and a half. The firmamentalpodcast.com. My wife and I, we also own KP Design. That's our business. It's kpdesign.ca. Check us out. I think that we're one of the best website builders in the world here. And I think my wife is incredibly talented. I love working with her, and it's just been an amazing ride. And I owe a lot of that to COVID. We got so much closer, and we got to work together and enjoy so much of our life together with our kids because of this crazy pandemic. And I count my blessings all the time for this crazy 2-4 years of just really bonding with my family. And I know that not everybody else can say that. It was a really negative experience for a lot of people. But like I said earlier, like, everything happens for us. And if you can find the reasons why these things happened for us and take the good out, take the gold out of it, you will level up. You will find the next thing. You will do the great things that you're here to do. I never planned on being a Gen X kid that had to sit in my house for a year and not be able to leave. I never planned that. I never thought in my wildest dreams that that would happen. And yet here I am. I personally witnessed people falling for propaganda that's probably crazier than Nazi propaganda. And they fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And I was the bad guy for calling it out and saying, hey guys, like, look at this. Look at this. Sorry, another rant, but
no, bro,
it's just wild to see what's going on, right?
Well, it circles right back to the whole theme here. It was another distraction. Problem, reaction, solution. That's the way it works, y'all. And if you think about it, no matter what it is, the Hegelian dialectic really is, it's the very thing Alex is talking about. The devil is in the distractions. That's exactly what the Hegelian dialectic is. Man, I want to thank Alex so much for being on this show, y'all. And until next time, stay alert, stay alive. Always catches the worm. Now I got